for today, Friday, June 12th, 2020. I'm Joe Vicnicki for KFSK's news department. And we're joined on the virtual lines here by a number of local public health officials and borough officials. Welcome to you all. Let's jump right in. It's been a little while since our last COVID-19 show. And we'll start off with Carl Hagerman with the borough's incident commander. Lots to talk about today. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Joe.
What's the latest from the borough's perspective?
Well, we've been spending a lot of time preparing and following through with the Mandate 10 interstate traveler screening and greeting process at the airport this week. We've successfully stood up a couple tents up there, got some tables, quick hired some temporary employees, and we were able to greet that first plane on Saturday after we just unfolded our last table. The first passenger was coming off the jet. So we made it. We were successful in getting that process set up on very short notice. And since that time, we've filled out a decent pool of employees to offer those greeting and screening services to the incoming passengers, and the process is getting smoother and smoother every day.
So what does that look like? There's someone there to meet you as you get off the plane and then determine if you have test results in hand or need to be tested?
Yeah, we've got one greeter that is meeting everybody coming through the gate at the airport. They're funneling all of the incoming passengers through the external tarmac gate. Nobody's going through the terminal right now. So we've got a greeter stationed right where those people come through the gate, and they're determining if they're traveling in state, which does not fall into the process, or if they're coming in from out of state. And then we're directing them over to the tent that we have set up so that other screeners can take their travel declaration forms and answer any questions. And there are a few screening questions that we have to ask of them just to make sure that they're not symptomatic. And then we direct them along depending on what their the situation is coming into the state.
Is that all honor system? Do you have to show your ticket of where you're coming from, or are you just taking people's word about if they're intrastate or interstate?
It is the honor system. The state isn't directing anybody at the airports to verify tickets or boarding passes on where they came from. And I believe, the vast majority of people that are coming in Petersburg are up to speed on what the requirements are. And as we've been doing this for almost a week now, we've seen more and more people come into Petersburg with the test results already in hand. The first couple of days, it was kind of spotty, and there were quite a few people that expected to get a test when they landed at the airport. But as time has gone by, I think the word is getting out, and then most people are following through in the lower 48 and getting a test as they can, the 3 days before they leave for Alaska.
Okay, so is there local testing at the airport yet or not?
There is not yet, but the hospital is working very hard trying to define that process, lay out some staff to set that up. And we are working with them, the borough's working with them to try to provide some infrastructure for that. We'll be moving our EOC communications trailer up to the airport to offer kind of a base of operations. We need to provide some internet access for their equipment to register people, and also some very basic protections for so that their personnel can collect swabs from passengers as they need to. And so we're working on putting all that together, and hopefully early next week we'll be there, although it's probably too early to really set a hard, fast time frame of when that'll be available.
Okay.
In the meantime, we are providing vouchers to incoming passengers along with the COVID hotline number. And incoming passengers can call the hotline number and set up an appointment to receive a test at the PMC respiratory clinic.
Okay. So can we just real quickly walk through the options again for somebody coming off the plane from out of state? Number one is a person who doesn't have any test results in hand. They can still do a 14-day quarantine at home, right?
They can. That's always an option. The state has tried to come up with a plan. These mandate 10 changes are in place to try and streamline the process for people coming into Alaska. But the option for a 14-day quarantine is always there.
Okay, and then for the person who has a within 3-day test result negative in hand, that person skips the quarantine, right?
Yes, they do. But the guidance from the state is that even if you have a negative test result when you enter the state, you still have to fill out the travel declaration form. And you should minimize interactions with others even after you've arrived. And we're handing out a voucher so they can take a second test within 7 to 14 days. And that after that second test, then they can be less careful, I guess. But there's no strict quarantine, but they're still asking people to minimize interactions.
Okay. All right. And then the third option, if you don't have that first test result, is get tested at a later date, but quarantine until that time.
Right. Yeah. And that goes for anybody that has taken a test, even if it's within the 3 days before they leave for Alaska. If they don't have the test result back in their hand when they get off the plane, they need to quarantine until they get that test result. Likewise, if they don't have a test and they arrive in Petersburg, they need to quarantine until they get a test and they get that test result back. So quarantine is still part of the program until we know that they're negative for COVID-19.
Okay. And then, of course, there's the whole category of people getting off the plane who are under workforce protective plans with companies that have filed with the state. They're doing something different.
Right. The critical infrastructure workers will have a plan already filed with the state of Alaska for the mitigation measures that they're undertaking as a company. And so passengers that are getting off in Petersburg that fall under one of those protective plans, there's an option on the form for them to check a box, and they just must follow whatever that protective plan is. The essential workforce is still allowed to enter the community and do their work, but they must follow the plan that their company has laid out for them.
Okay. So for not talking about those people, but the general public who is traveling from out of state, Carl, what's your sense in terms of people complying with this mandate number 10 from the state and quarantining or testing?
Well, so far, I think just the interactions that we've had at the airport have been good. I think, like I said, the vast majority of people that have come in understand what the mandate says, what it means, and are, at least at the airport, following through with the screening questions and the travel declaration form. So that end of it has been good. What we won't know, and probably almost impossible to know, is if they're supposed to quarantine after their interaction with us at the airport. We aren't following up with like that, and the state of Alaska has no mechanism to follow up with every person that gets off the plane to verify that they're quarantining in the community. It's a bit of a worry for us, of course, but like I said, the interactions we had at the airport have been good. So the governor is placing a lot of faith in Alaskans and our visitors to go by the honor system. And, you know, unfortunately, we're going to have to see how that works out over time.
Okay, sounds good. Carl, I have other questions for you, but I wanted to switch real quick to Rick Dormer with the Petersburg School District. He has to run to another meeting, but wanted to give a brief update from the school district's standpoint. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you?
Doing well, thank you, doing well.
What's the latest from any of the schools?
Yeah, no, thanks for giving me a few minutes. I'm excited to have a fun meeting at 1 o'clock, meeting with Region 5 secondary school principals, because we're all trying to figure out the fall, as you can imagine. And so we're going to meet together and start talking regularly. So that's great to get some great leaders together and see what's going on, you know, so that's fun stuff.
Okay, great. And schools are off, but summer school's happening, meals are happening, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, meals are happening. That's continues to go well. Great staff up there working hard. Summer school plans are kind of coming together, and there'll be a couple sessions over the summer, heavy in the elementary, but we have a few students in secondary we're supporting, so that's great. And what we did today or last night went out was a survey, because obviously we, you know, teachers and kids are out and hopefully having a great summer, but admin team has continued to meet, and we're at a couple, two meetings a week with the state as they continue to give us some guidance. They've been really good sessions, and we put a survey out there. So we just wanted to encourage families to reach out, connect that survey. It's on our website, pcsd.us. It was also posted on Facebook, and we've had a lot of responses already and really interesting reading. And so this is the first of many surveys, but we just want to collaborate, you know, of course, with families and hear what their needs are and concerns and what worked, what could potentially work for them in the fall as we try to, you know, navigate the state guidelines, what the Department of Education is telling us. Obviously, we'll be working with our local leaders, as we have, and our health officials, to try to figure out what the fall's going to look like for kids. Our goal, of course, as we keep telling people, is we would love to have school back to normal, 100% kids there all day. That's what we like as teachers and principals and stuff. We really want that. But at the same time, we also want families healthy. So we're walking the balance, and one of the ways to do that is to get some information from families. So that is out there.
Okay. And I imagine you want answers back sooner rather than later, so you can start making, or the board can start making decisions, or whoever makes the decisions can get to that soon.
Yeah, that does help us. Yeah, get on there and take the survey. It's not real long. And of course, you can skip questions you don't need. And we have an admin team, and we'll start meeting with a couple board members to keep under that meeting limit. So we have their input, and we have a couple, like I said, a couple local community members that will kind of help us as we evolve, and we'll continue to survey as things, as we get closer and we know more information for the fall.
Okay, great. Anything else from the schools, Rick?
Just to say, hope everyone's having a great summer, and especially for our, I know a lot of our students are leaving to go out fishing with their families. Be safe and best luck.
Okay, thanks. I'll let you go to your next meeting, and we'll move on to our next guest. Let's have somebody from the medical center. Phil Hofstetter, hi, welcome. What's the latest from Petersburg Medical Center?
Hey, Joe. Looks like it's just me today, from the hospital at least. I can go over tests. We have a total of 435 tests that were completed, 421 negative, 3 recovered, and 11 outstanding. Generally speaking, we're just it's kind of a grind. We're definitely trying to adapt to the changes. As Carl said, with the mandate, it's, anytime there's a new system or a new, something else we gotta work on. It has a pretty difficult trickle down effect on our staff. So we're trying hard to provide some of the resources and the guidance for the testing, as well as ramping up our asymptomatic testing in the facility and in the community, and trying to incorporate those processes on a more sustainable basis.
So what does it look like for getting testing going up at the airport from your standpoint?
Yeah, it's a lot of logistics, and we want to make sure it's done correctly and accurately. So for example, if you just, put some people up there and do some testing and they self-administer the swabs, that could be done. And then there's the packaging of that, filling out the forms, and then the doctor, putting the doctor's name on the form. So if it's just the state, following the state mandate, you could put Dr. Zink's name down on there and then send it to the state lab. The problem with that is there's substantially a backlog at the state. I don't know what the delay is currently, but as we're certainly hearing, it's since all airports are testing and sending it to the state, there's concern about turnaround time. There's also concern about if there's a positive, at what point do we get notified, and is there going to be a delay in that? So it's important that we have one of our physicians' name on the form, sending it to a lab that has a quick turnaround time, and then making sure that we have a process for notification if there is a positive.
Okay. And then is the testing eventually going to be done in terminal? It's a pretty small terminal facility.
It would be done outside. Carl was talking about the trailer accommodations, and then outside setting up a tent and a location outside. We would not want to do it in the terminal. It's too small.
Okay. All right. And so that number of tests that has been administered, that looks like it just keeps increasing slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And then, so hopefully we're, you know, as long as we keep getting those negatives back, we'll be pleased.
And how are kits for testing?
I feel really fortunate. I've been checking around the state for other folks, and not everyone has that Cepheid unit. We are receiving some cartridges from the state. We received another batch from the state as well. And so we would just want to make sure that we are, using those on the right folks. As we get more cartridges, the ultimate goal is to do all the testing, or not all, but as much as testing as possible here in Petersburg, with a turnaround time that is a way, way faster than the state. So to do that, though, we have one Cepheid unit that has, two bays or two tests at one time. You can do that, and then you have to have a process for cleaning, and then it takes about an hour for each batch to do. So we ordered a second test for four bays, and the idea is that we can scale that a little bit more. But we have the challenges of staffing and it's going to be hard to manage that 24/7, and so we're limited with a little bit of that, but we're working through some of those.
Okay. All right. Anything else from the medical center before we move on to someone else?
Nope, not at this time.
Okay. Aaron Michael from the state public health nurse. Can you fill us in the latest from your standpoint?
Well, it's still a lot of what we've been doing over the past month. We're doing lots of contact and interviews across the state. So just because we might not have a case currently in Petersburg doesn't mean we're not doing that throughout the state. So that keeps us quite busy between Rachel and I. And just really encourage people to not get complacent and think that it can't happen to them, because as we're seeing across the state, it obviously can. So please take it seriously, the suggestions and recommendations that are out there. Even though they're not mandatory, they could be very helpful for you. And so wearing your mask and keeping that 6-foot distance and washing your hands frequently and keeping your bubble small, things we keep saying over and over and over and over again, are just really important for people to take seriously and do, because you don't want to have to quarantine for 14 days if you don't have to. And so that's what I would just say.
Are you contact tracing for everybody who is on an airplane around a person who does test positive? Because we are hearing those cases popping up in places nearby, Juneau, Wrangell, Ketchikan.
It's guided by Epi. So Epi will tell you it's not everyone on the plane. It's a certain people in a certain surrounding around the plane. So Epi says, okay, these are the people that we're going to contact. We usually aren't the ones contacting them. Typically it's someone else, but that does get done.
Okay. And we've just heard of the second case identified in Wrangell. Are you expecting more cases in that community?
I'm hopeful that there's not, but you just don't know what could happen. And in any community, that's why we all have to take these precautions.
Okay. And I wanted to double back to Carl Hagerman with the borough. We've seen a couple facilities for the borough shut down this week as testing results are awaited. Is that the new normal for how things are going to happen with public buildings, closures as you wait test results to come back negative or positive?
Well, we're being very cautious right now, and we have developed a policy that basically says that, if we have a concern about a potential infected patron or employee, then then we will close down. But we're also seeking some feedback from the medical center on that policy, and we'll see if we can come up with a plan that's protective of our patrons and employees, but may not result in a complete closure of a department if the situation arises. It's a tough question, you know, to answer, and we want to be careful and cautious, but we also, you know, want to continue to provide service to the community too. So we're trying to land on a good way to move forward through the summer. But initially, the answer was to just be careful and close facility down until we're sure that we can be safe.
Okay. And to double back to Aaron, Michael, what's the guidance from the state on that for, say, like a business who has a person who's awaiting their test results? Is it to close down the business or just send that person home to quarantine or isolate while they're awaiting that result?
You know, it's per the business in their discretion, but they encourage people to follow the CDC guidelines. And if there's any question, then we can work with them in the section of epidemiology if they feel like it requires a total shutdown. But most cases, they're given that guidance on what to do as far as cleaning goes, and then go from there.
Okay, sounds good. Let's go next to Liz Cabrera with Petersburg Economic Development Council. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. You? And what's the latest?
Well, there's a new state program out, which I've heard you announcing on KFSK, which is the Alaska Housing Relief Program. And that provides up to $1,200 in rent or mortgage relief. And applications are being accepted starting June 15th through the 26th. And folks can go to alaskahousingrelief.org or call 1-833-440-420-something. I can't even read my own writing. Sorry.
we'll get that announcement.
I think you have that number.
Yeah. And that's that's a lottery system. So you have to apply to get your name into a lottery.
Exactly. They will accept all the applications, and then it is a lottery. If you're selected, then they would go through and verify your financial information and see if you meet eligibility, and decide after the lottery is done. But there is still that deadline that you would have to get your application in by.
Okay.
The Petersburg Borough's nonprofit and childcare stabilization program, that application period is going to start up here, and the application and information is already available on the borough website. The deadline for that is June 26th, and there's all the information there online. And if folks have questions, there's also emails for questions as well, email address for questions. And I think last time the Congress was just talking about PPP Flexibility Act, and extending the timeline when businesses who received PPP funds could spend those funds. And that legislation did pass Congress and was signed by the president. So there are some changes to that program on the timeline for the use of the funds and also how you can use the funds. It's worth it for businesses to check into that and check in with their lenders about that.
Okay.
Also, the state of Alaska's Alaska Cares business grant program is accepting applications. That one is first come, first serve, available to small businesses and some nonprofits who have not received other federal CARE Act funding. And that is open until they use up all the money, I believe.
Okay. And real briefly, you touched on it, but the child care and funding locally, has that money been paid out to child care providers here in town already?
Not yet. The deadline for child care providers is the 16th, and so they should already have been contacted and received application materials, so we're just waiting to hear back from them.
Okay. All right.
Oh, and Joe, one other thing. Next Friday, the state will release the unemployment figures for May. And so hopefully I'll be able to report on those.
Okay. Thanks, Liz.
Sure.
All right, back up to top of the order. Carl Hagerman, wanted to touch briefly on the Borough Assembly. It meets Monday night, and we'll be talking about a couple of COVID-19 related things, including an extension of the mandate on cruise ships and checking in with the public health officer before they dock. And that could be extended, I think you're recommending through August, is it, Carl?
Yeah, we're looking at pushing this out through the summer season instead of, we know there's going to be issues with this and risk associated with passengers, travelers coming in from the water all through the summer. So we're looking at extending this out till the end of August at a minimum, unless something changes with Mandate 10 from the state. It is tied to that as well. So that we can just capture all that time and potential risk through the summer.
And does this expand it to apply to more than just cruise ships, charter businesses coming from out of town as well, or?
It does. It pretty much, instead of focusing on a type of vessel, it focuses on Mandate 10 and anybody that has a applicable situation to Mandate 10. So people coming into the state from out of state or internationally that need to quarantine, for instance, if they select that box, then anybody in that group that must meet some provision of Mandate 10, if they're on board, the captain should call a health officer and divulge that information and get approval to disembark in Petersburg.
Okay. All right. So that's one decision for the assembly Monday night. They're also looking at, how they're going to do local government meetings for the near future in terms of some in-person for the assembly and board and commission people, but continuing with the public on telephone. Am I reading that right?
Yes, I believe so. I think that's it. Allowing members of the assembly or boards and commissions to meet in the enclosed space of the assembly chambers, but to receive public testimony via a telephone conference as they have been doing.
Okay. Are there other decisions on COVID-19 related items Monday night for the assembly?
Well, there is, the EOC is recommending that we use some of the CARES funding to purchase two mobile restroom trailers. To provide additional sanitary services in the community and hand washing opportunities as well. And so that, that will be on the agenda as a sole source purchase resolution. We found that there are several companies that make these types of trailers, but the pricing is all very similar in the quotes that we've received. And the lead times are very long as well. So we're trying to cut some time out of delivery and seek a sole source purchase, the lowest quote that we got for a trailer, and move forward on that so we can get on the build list for the trailers and hopefully get them here. Well, at this point, I'm not sure when they'll arrive because they're very, very popular in the summertime in general. And now with COVID-19 happening, they're being very popular among communities trying to fit the same need we are looking for, additional sanitary services.
Where do you think or where do you envision those would go?
Well, we're thinking at the outset, one would go in the municipal building parking lot, probably back towards Singley Alley in one of the corners of the parking lot. And the other one, we were thinking about putting it in one of the corners of the parking lot at the Crane Dock. It's one of the parking lots of the harbor that does not have services right now. So providing services in that location seemed like a good fit.
Are these porta potty style that have to be emptied, or are they connected to the sewer system?
They can be connected to the sewer system, but I think the way that they work best is to be emptied on a regular basis by a truck.
Okay. All right. And the need for that, again, is just to provide more area or more places for restrooms?
Yes. And, you know, hand washing is a big requirement or a recommendation throughout all of COVID-19. And so That's a big focus of the trailer, is to have hand washing available in town. But of course, Petersburg's the need for additional public restrooms in the downtown area and the harbors has been an issue for lots of people for a long time. And so kind of looking at two birds with one stone with this purchase, these trailers will be available long after COVID-19 dies down, and it will serve the community well. But at least initially, you know, the focus is on sanitary services for the community in light of COVID-19.
Okay. All right. And any other decisions Monday night for the assembly?
Yes, actually there are. The emergency ordinance that allowed, you know, to stand up the EOC in a greater manner and produce mandates protecting the community, that ordinance is really meant to be a permanent ordinance. It was a limited time ordinance as we have it right now. I think it's set to expire at the end of next month or in July. And so the assembly is actually considering adopting that ordinance as a permanent law for the community. And of course, the need for that ordinance is not just related to COVID-19. It's related to any natural disaster or emergency that might befall Petersburg in the future. So it would be called into use if we had an earthquake or a tidal wave or a large fire that took out some of our commercial businesses, anything like that. This ordinance would come into play and help the borough respond in an organized fashion to that emergency. So that will also be on the agenda for discussion. And actually, I think it's an action item on Monday.
Okay, so if that is adopted permanently, then it would just be in place and we'd be under this system for the rest of time until it was rescinded. And I ask because there are things, there are shortcuts allowed under the emergency ordinance and powers and that kind of thing that aren't allowed otherwise.
Right, and of course, any of those shortcuts or different powers are related to an emergency. So once the COVID-19 pandemic is declared over, the emergency declarations are canceled, then those powers go away. You know, there has to be some kind of emergency declaration for those powers to be enforced. So that's the long-term look of this ordinance, that it allows us to act quickly if we do have a major disaster or an emergency. But without an emergency, it's just not used.
Okay. All right. Other decisions as well?
It seems like there's a lot on that agenda, but I think those are the main points for at least the EOC's involvement.
Okay. And Carl, anything else from the borough before we move on to other guests?
You know, I wanted to mention that, you know, the borough is reopening slowly, and we're adding more and more departments all the time. So I just wanted to go down the list quickly. Parks and Recreation has opened the parks and restrooms at the parks. Shelters and playgrounds are now open. The library, as you mentioned earlier, is going to be reopened on Tuesday for grab-and-go service. They have details of that on their website. The police department lobby is open from 8 in the morning till 8 at night, and fingerprinting is available by appointment. Harbor restrooms are now open from 7 in the morning till 10 at night, with regular cleaning occurring. The municipal building, starting on Monday, June 15th, is going to be open from 8 a.m. to 4:30, Monday through Friday. The Community Development Department is still encouraging people to submit applications and plans via email, but they will be available for in-person meetings by appointment starting on Monday. You can call 772-4425 to schedule an appointment with Community Development. Power and Light is going to be available also for meetings by appointment starting Monday. And then on July 6th, Power and Light will have our doors unlocked and be open for drop-in traffic. The Baylor is open for its regular hours, and the Public Works offices will be is working on a reopening plan, and we'll be opening soon as well.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Carl. I think we do have a caller on line one, Nancy Berg. Can you hear us all right?
I can hear you.
Yep, you're
can you
on.
Hear me?
You're on. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I just wanted to mention to Carl, when we were talking about the restrooms in our working group for visitors, I know Carrie Martinson mentioned that they always have a lot of those in the auctions, like the Ritchie Brothers auctions. So to maybe consider a pre-owned one might get it here quicker and save the borough some money.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Nancy.
That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. You got that suggestion, Carl?
I do, yes. And actually, I've looked into that somewhat, and I have not found any available at an auction. Maybe I'm not looking at the right auctions, but I think these units are being used. They're very popular right now, so it's hard to lay your hands on one.
Okay. All right. And Phil Hofstetter from the Medical Center, anything else you want to address today?
Nope, nothing on this side.
Okay. How about Aaron Michael, public health nurse? Aaron, are you still with us? Looks like you're still muted at the moment while we're waiting for you. Oh, there we go. There we go. How about now?
Sorry, I was struggling with it. I think we were both unmuting me at the same time. Just everybody just stay as safe as possible and have a great weekend.
Thanks. And Liz Cabrera, anything else from you?
Yeah, Joe, I just wanted to provide that phone number for Alaska Housing Relief in case folks were interested. It's 833-440-0420.
Okay, thanks. And hope we have a caller on line one. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
You're on. Go ahead.
I just have a question. I'm wondering when the pool is going to open. There's some of us that kind of depend on that.
Okay, great question. Carl, can you handle that? Are you still with us? Yep.
Yep. So the last schedule that I saw on that was still to not open the pool or open the pool for a limited service starting August 15th. I think that's the date that I saw. So that's still a ways off. I know they're advertising, looking for lifeguards right now. And, staffing is kind of a big problem for Parks and Rec at the moment. Need to have lifeguards on duty to open it up. But I know they're working on it, and it's probably not fast enough for lots of people, but they're trying to get it open as soon as possible.
Is there any chance that they're doing it just for not all the whole open, but open for just certain segments?
I can't really answer that question, but I will pass that along to Manager Giesbrecht and the Parks and Rec Department and see if they can provide an answer for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the questions. All right. Let's wrap it up on that note and remind listeners our next call-in show on COVID-19 will be a week from today, next Friday at the same time. However, we'll be talking with Borough Assembly members on Monday about the meeting that's coming up and the decisions they have to make, including COVID-19 related decisions. Tune in to KFSK in Petersburg at 12:30 on Monday. For KFSK News, I'm Joe Vicnicki.